Recording started.
Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ing's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time by setting the intention with Naturally 7 to just let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together. That our hearts and memories reflect you. And I pray that our lives go the better. Stay in tune with the Lord and you. Lord, I pray that these words be saying with as always, I applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes out of your busy Sunday to join me as we link hearts, minds, spirits across the airwaves. This morning I want to talk about something that deeply touched me, affected me. And as always, here on the Sunday Soul, I believe our spirituality has to be a working practice. It is not enough to listen, to read, to intellectualize about these truths, these principles, unless we embody, embrace them, and utilize them so that we can live a life that is harmonized, peaceful, loving, kind. So a friend had sent me a copy of something that had occurred in the New York Post just the following week. And as I read it, I could feel my blood starting to boil a little and anger starting to rise. That in this day, in this age, in this time, that there's a level of ignorance, a lack of acceptance that still pervades in our culture and in our society. It's a store, it's a dollar store in New Jersey that were carrying dolls that were called feel-better dolls. The instructions were that the buyers were to take these little black rag dolls back, which came with red and green, yellow yarn as hair, looked like dreadlocks, and that they were to find a wall and slam them against. And that whenever things weren't going well, and they wanted to hit and yell, they were to use their feel-better dolls and just grab it firmly by the legs and then whack it. Whack the feel-good doll until you start to feel better. And at the same time, you're supposed to yell, I feel good, I feel God, good. Needless to say, the toys were pulled from the shelves. But as I read the article, it was sad that there was someone out there that felt that designing a doll with a color, and then the invitation was to slam it against a wall whilst venting your anger. As I've shared before, every moment is a guru. Every moment gives us an opportunity to learn something about ourselves, to deepen, to develop, to cultivate a higher way of being. After the anger had subsided, there was a sadness. I felt sad that someone felt that it was okay to do this, not okay to design it, okay to manufacture it, but okay to stock it in a shop. Something that advocated violence against another human being. If someone was just looking to design something as a release for one's anger and pent-up tension and stress, it could have been something more abstract. Could have been a beanie bag. However, they chose to choose a humanoid form and something of color. And so, as I looked at what was the lesson to learn, I asked myself, could I forgive that person and persons for what they were perpetrating and what the suggestion, albeit subliminal and not so subliminal, was? The answer was yes, but not immediately. Because I know that forgiveness is something I have to do for myself. It is not suggesting, advocating, or even giving permission and saying what that person did is okay, but what I'm saying is that forgiveness allows me, not to be affected by it. It allows me to be healed and at peace by what someone else has done. And there are times when each and every one of us are going to encounter a situation, something someone says or does, that's going to affect us deeply, to which we think it's unforgivable. I had a couple of instances recently. A friend, a dear friend of mine, and another person that we both know. This person had lied to me about her, and then lied to her. My dear friend could not forgive it, and would not forgive it. No matter how many times I tried to urge her, coax her, that the forgiveness was for her. She shared with me how she saw this person walking down the road, and as she got closer, she recognized it was this person. And the person was making a beeline to her, and she instead averted her head and went in another direction. And as she shared it with the passion with which she felt, again, the invitation is, beloved, you have to forgive. It could have caused, it didn't. It hurt, but you can move on. The thing about forgiveness is that it frees you and liberates you from the pain of the past. Without forgiveness, you are continuously, by an invisible line, connected and attached to whatever it is or whoever it is that caused you the pain. Another friend emailed me and said it was her 75th birthday next year. And on her bucket list was to go and stay at the house that was once owned just outside of Paris by the Duke of Windsor. She wanted to go there because this, in her mind, he was a despicable person. Someone that collaborated with the Nazis and was anti-Jews. And so she wanted to go there so she could spit on his memory and let him know wherever he was that the Jews had survived and they were alive and well. As I read her email, I could feel a sense of despair that was rising within me. And I took a few days before responding, because I needed to truly deepen in myself before I wrote the response. And I shared with her that I was flattered that she would want to invite me. However, as happy as I would be to celebrate her 75th birthday, it would not be in Paris at the home of the Duke of Windsor. I said, personally, I have to follow the teachings of my teacher, who said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, here, the invitation on the Sunday Soul Connections, one, as hard and as challenging as it always is the invitation to be loving, to be kind, to be forgiving. And yes, there are going to be many opportunities, many instances, many occasions when that is going to challenge us. Nevertheless, we are here to keep trying. We are here to keep practicing, because this is the reason for life, to practice, to evolve, to grow, to recognize the core of our being, who we are, that we are the divine intelligence, that we are spirit, that we are God, and that we are here to express all that God is, and all that God is love. I often say there is no unforgiveness in God, because God is not judging like us. We judge. We decide this is right, this is wrong, you're good, you're bad, you're evil, and you're not. We decide. We make these judgments. It's a certainty in this life that none of us will escape being hurt by something or someone that they've said or done. It is inevitable, because it's part of the human condition. In this several thousand years that we've been on this planet, human beings, the human species, have not evolved enough or sufficiently to know how to be more loving and kind to one another. It's not an impossible feat, but it is a feat that requires us to be diligent and continuous and constant in our practice of it. Nelson Mandela says that when a deep injury is done to us, we never heal until we forgive. Nelson Mandela, as we all know, was a living example of what forgiveness looks like. He knew that after spending 25 years in prison, he would still be in prison if he was unable to forgive those who had perpetrated such an awful and heinous crime against him. He knew that even though he had walked out of the prison cell, he would be still in prison in his mind, in his heart, in his consciousness, if he could not forgive these people for how they treated him, for their beliefs that somehow the color of his skin made him a lesser human being. Until we can move beyond seeing people who are different from us as the other, until we can stop seeing ourselves as separate, as us and them, I see that there will be no future for mankind. Because if we cannot come together and see it is not the color of a person's skin, it is not their religion, it is not their gender or sexual orientation that makes them a lesser human being. What makes them a lesser human being is when they see division, when they see separation, when they judge and hurt another because they are different from them. So my beloveds, our Sunday soul this morning is about coming together and accepting. Accepting and forgiving. Accepting people as they are and forgiving them when they're not as we would like them to be. My sacred text comes from, let me find it. I'm not even sure where I put it now. My sacred text is Colossians 3:12-14. It said, God loves you and has chosen you as his special people. So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient. Put up with each other and forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. Love is more important than anything else, but what ties everything completely together. Those words say it all. There's nothing there that needs clarifying. It simply tells you that we are to be kind and humble, that we are to forgive people who have wronged us, because it is love that unifies. It is love that ties and binds us all together. The story that I want to share with you is more informational than a myth, because it struck me that perhaps what we needed to do was to cultivate a forgiveness garden in our hearts. Because only as you cultivate a garden, you have to diligently tear out the weeds. So i.e. tear out the people that have hurt and wounded us and water it with forgiveness, with compassion, with love, to recognize that it speaks more about them than it does about you when you understand that people behave and operate from their own woundedness. So the concept of what this garden was is it says that in life we must find creative and constructive ways to negotiate conflict. The only conflict-free existence is death. One definition of forgiveness is giving up all hope for a better past. We cannot change the past, but we can change how we approach it and how we carry our feelings about it into the future. Forgiveness provides the essential and necessary balance in all our relationships. Friends can live in the same humble shack and remain friends, but enemies, embittered by the feelings of enmity and revenge, cannot share even a place in the hope of becoming in a palace in the hope of becoming friends. Forgiveness transcends painful memories and grievances and redirects its energy towards peaceful and creative coexistence. So Lebanon created a garden of forgiveness. It's a work in progress. It's a public place in which to raise awareness about the power of forgiveness for healing and conflict transformation. It was conceived by British Lebanese citizen and psychotherapist Alexandra Esseli, and it aims to nurture peace and healing in a country that's still recovering from a 15-year civil war of religious factions. But the garden has been beset by delays. Last month, Aisley hosted a ceremony near the garden, bringing together people from all religious backgrounds to celebrate their common beliefs. She came to Lebanon in 1966 and married a Lebanese man and raised her children in Lebanon. Then in 1975, Lebanon's civil war broke out. During the war, she says, I became very distressed about how is it possible that we as human beings can kill, that we as human beings can, from one day to another, go from being nice, happy people to fighters, killers, destroyers. So in 1998, Asili came up with the idea for the Garden of Forgiveness. It was proved and then designed by two well-known architects, and is located between archaeological relics and religious structures in the heart of Beirut. Over the years, the garden became a symbol of peace. In 2005, family members from September 11 victims visited the garden. They planted an olive tree and under it buried photos of loved ones who were killed in the attacks. But in 2006, Lebanon was at war again and work on the garden was suspended. The project is still stalled because of a disagreement between the developer who owns the land and a nearby Lebanese army base. Last month, during the Feast of Annunciation, a religious holiday celebrated by Christians and some Muslims, Lebanese gathered at the Nure Shrine just nearby to express solidarity. The garden is situated on what was known during the Civil War as the Green Line. At the time, it separated Christians and Muslims as part of the city. In the Mekati of the Islamic Christian Foundation, it said it's a perfect site for the garden. When I read this, it was like we need to cultivate our own personal garden of forgiveness in our hearts. As I said before, only as we do so can we water it with love and kindness and compassion and weed out the hurt and the pain. Because the problem is we cannot change the past. It has already happened. But we can change our attachment to it. We can change how we keep reliving, remembering all the hurt, the pain, the disappointments that we experienced there. We can let it go. We can surrender it. And so my poem this morning is by Pat A. Fleming, simply entitled Forgiveness is Divine. Some people view forgiveness as a virtue for the weak, an act of mercy undeserved that serves no useful need. They stand firmly in their judgment and won't consider a mistake. They prefer to hold a senseless grudge than accept amends when made. They prefer to hold a senseless grudge than accept amends when made. They feel they have some godly right to reject and criticize. They're possessed by righteous anger and consumed by pointless pride. They're focused on how they've been wronged and won't be made the fool again. So they feel that they must avenge themselves by refusing to give in. They will sacrifice their family or forsake a longtime friend to do anything they have to do to be the winner in the end. Or perhaps it is they can't resolve the depth of all their hurt caused when someone that they've trusted left them questioning their worth. But no matter why they struggle, out of pride or out of fear, not being able to forgive can cause the loss of ones most dear. Yes, forgiveness is a virtue. They even say it's divine. But more than that, it sets you free from what weighs you down inside. The best way to approach this life is to ask forgiveness and to forgive. There's a balance to this crazy world. So live and just let live. I know that when we do our Buddhist meditations and we're asking that we forgive for any wrongs that we have done and forgive those who have wronged us, that there are some that are just giving it lip service. They're simply repeating it because they have no intention of forgiving the person that has wronged them. They have no intention of letting them off the hook. And this is why I say that the spiritual life is not an easy one, because it requires you to give up. To give up the ideas and notions that you have held on to, that your ego allows you to be connected to. The spiritual life is a way of being and living. It is something that we have to be practicing. We're just not listening to this, reading about it, thinking it sounds good. We have to practice, embrace, embody, and express it. This is how we grow. This is how we evolve. This is how we develop. This is how we cultivate a life of peace and harmony. It requires effort, my friends. My science of mind reading is entitled Forgiveness. The first quote comes from Maya Angelou, who says, "It's one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself to forgive. Forgive everybody." The second quote comes from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind, page 261. "Love and life permeate every atom of my being. I am washed, cleansed within. I forgive all and am forgiven of all and by all. Nothing remains in my being but love." The author writes, Reverend Edwin Gaines is the treasure of the New Thought movement. She has been living and teaching the principles of spiritual abundance for decades. She has an earthy and humorous way of conveying spiritual truths. She says, "There's a simple test to see if you have forgiveness work to do. Do you have a body?" The line gets a laugh every time, and it's a laugh of recognition. We may think that we have forgiven everyone and everything, but if we look deeper, we find always there's some place in our awareness where we think things should have been different than they are. The U.S. presidential elections unearth a lot of division in the nation. It's remarkable to see how people see the same set of facts and figures and come to radically different conclusions and propose wildly different solutions. It's like we're living in different realities, and we are. Our forgiveness work can be as simple as internally allowing other people their reality. This doesn't mean we don't take a stand for justice and what we see is right. This is the way spiritual evolution takes place at that societal level. But we want to always remember to see spirit in all people. Let them be who they are. Forgive. When I read this science of mind reading, I just felt that the people who created those dolls that I shared at the beginning, I didn't need to judge them. I didn't need to chastise or berate them. I simply needed to accept that's who they are and offer forgiveness to them and to myself. And so, beloved, if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within and bring our attention to our breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow. Always at this time, I remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me, it is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So let us be conscious as we're breathing in and out that we are breathing in the sacred breath of life itself. So as you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in." And as you breathe out, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe out." Inhale, "This is my breath as I breathe in." Exhale, "This is my breath as I breathe out." In, out, in, out, in, out. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in deeper." And as you breathe out, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe out slower." Inhale, "This is my breath as I breathe in deeper." Exhale, "This is my breath as I breathe out slower." Deeper, slower, deeper, slower. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in healing." And as you breathe out, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness." Inhale, "This is my breath as I breathe in healing." "This is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness, healing, forgiveness, healing, forgiveness, healing, forgiveness." Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I accept." And as you breathe out, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I let go." Inhale, "This is my breath as I accept." Exhale, "This is my breath as I let go." Accept. Let go. Accept. Let go. Accept. Let go. Here, in the case of the heart, the center of the soul, just take a moment recall anything or anyone that needs our forgiveness right now. Let us accept this as just who they are. We don't need to judge them as being wrong or right, good or bad. We simply accept this is the way they express. And let us truly embrace forgiving them, whether it's recent or in the past, something that happened yesterday or a long time ago. Forgiveness offers healing, offers release, offers peace. And it may be a process that you have to do for a number of times before you can experience its benefit. But here, now, be intentional to forgive all. Those that are personal, those that are more abstract, that are societal. Let us be intentional for ourselves for our week ahead. Let us see in our mind's eye what we wish or how we wish to be, do, achieve, accomplish in the coming days ahead. For each one it's different. But always as you are seeing it, visualizing it, embody what it feels like as you are doing so. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. We know that we live, move, and have our being in the omnipresent and omniscience. That is spirit, that is God, that is divine intelligence. So the invitation is always to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time, knowing that there is nowhere where God's spirit is not, where the one life is absent. In this awareness, in this alignment, in this truth, we consciously come into our prayer circle, knowing that there is one life, one power, one presence. We simply know as the divine beloved, Mother, Father, God, Krishna, Buddha, nature, Christ, Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah. All the names that we seek to find and give the one life, the one power, the one presence, but none can contain it. So as we align with the truth of our being, the divine intelligence that permeates in and through and all of creation, we're speaking this word for the healing of separation and division that exists. We speak this word that we may be healed of any unforgiveness or unforgiving thoughts or feelings that we may have against something or for something or against for someone. We're speaking this word because our teacher said, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen, but you cannot love man whom you have seen? We're speaking this word that we might be emboldened as we embrace this truth of how to live life by forgiving, by letting go, by releasing our past and those that have wounded and hurt us in the past. We're speaking this word right here, right now, that this is the moment when we let go of all that has hurt or wounded us. We let go of the need to be righteous. We let go of the need to judge. We let go of the need to feel separate from them. Because we know that as we are one with God, we are one with all of God's creation. those who think like us and those who do not, those who have loved us and love us and those who do not. We are one with it all. So as we seek to embrace, embody, and express forgiveness, we include ourselves when we do not meet the standards we have set. O Divine Beloved, let your grace fill our hearts, our minds, that we truly embody, embrace, and express forgiveness. We're holding forgiveness in our hearts for all that's happening in this world at this time. For all the leaders who are misgoverning, rather than freeing and liberating the people, they are enslaving them with erroneous thoughts and beliefs. We offer forgiveness for those who just offer greed and just proffer greed and just look for profits and for what suits them. We speak this word for all those that are polluting, that are wrecking this planet, that is burning its forests, polluting its waters, its air, its land. We seek forgiveness for ourselves when we fall short, when we fail to be all that we are supposed to be as children of the Most High God. We ask forgiveness for ourselves and for our world. Divine Beloved, ground of being, source of all that is, in this moment, at this time, let forgiveness be something that is not just intellectualized, but is expressed and experienced. Let us live it so that we may know that truly we are your people and that it is love that unites us all. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phone lines for our... Oh, no, one moment. We have to do our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky. Wriggle your fingers and affirm aloud. I open myself to life all around me. Cross your hands over your heart, palms down, and affirm. I am one with love and all that love is. Bring your hands together as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words of health and wholeness. Drop your hands to your sides, palms down, facing outwards, and affirm. I give thanks for all good things flowing to me. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I release and let go, and so it is. Now I shall unmute the phone lines, take a deep breath in.
All guest lines have been unmuted. Press #6 to mute your line.
Repeat after me our affirmation from our Science of Mind reading. Today I recognize spirit.
Today I recognize spirit.
As present in all people.
As present in all people.
In those who agree with me.
In those that who agree with me.
And in those who do not.
And in those who do not.
I allow a higher truth.
I allow
a higher truth.
To be revealed in my perception.
To be revealed in my perception.
I see the world with the eyes of love.
I see the world in the eyes of love.
Our Buddhist meditations, if anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed
me.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
Knowingly
or unknowingly.
In thought, word, or deed.
In thought, word, or deed.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
If I hurt or harmed anyone,
knowingly or unknowingly,
knowingly or unknowingly,
in thought, word, or deed,
in thought, word, or deed,
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. And now our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without. Eternal and unceasingly. Well, my beloved, as we come to the end of our Sunday Soul Connection, I will be joining you on Thursday for our midweek prayer, our 10 at 10, our 10 minutes of prayer and reflection. So my benediction that I'm closing with today is entitled Pitched, Peeled, and Poised. I've adapted it from the original. And may you go into your week with your ears pitched to hear the still small voice of Spirit reminding you who you are. May you go into your week with your eyes peeled to see and respect love in all faces and in unexpected places. May you go into your week with your soul poised as it remembers and aligns with the Spirit of God within and be grounded and anchored in the Spirit of peace, love, and acceptance. So my closing song today is from Keondra Lockett. Within it she has a wonderful verse which says, telling eyes, no, it ain't me, but I've drank from the cup of grudge holding. As time goes on, I get better and better. My will to forgive no longer a struggle. Even though it's hard, I try. So that is the invitation, to try, to let go of the cup of grudge that you may be holding, and to just keep trying every day to forgive. Keondra Lockett and Try. Enjoy.
Thank you. Clean.
That's Kionja Luckett and Try. Beloveds, I wish you a very happy Sunday. If you're in the Surrey area, check out the cycle race that's going on and give them a wave. Have a blessed and beautiful week.
Thank you.